I want you guys to do something a little different this morning. Just want us to take a moment, just sit in silence and ask God to speak to us. Could you do that? Lord, we want to hear your voice. So desperately want you to speak into our situation. Lord, we want you to guide us and direct us. Father, help us to recognize your voice, your sheep. God, open our ears to hear your word. Thank you for your presence, Lord, that it's tangible here this morning. Thank you, Lord, that you're doing new things in us, new things. Lord, as we open up our word, your word, to us, Lord, may it come alive to us. May it make sense, Lord. Lord, I pray that we would be able to apply it to our lives. Lord, that we would be able to share it with others. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Man, his presence is so sweet. Whew. We're continuing our series going through the book of Proverbs, sort of a survey of it called Proverbs Wisdom. And this week we're going to talk about vision. God has his vision that he wants to implant into our hearts. The overall vision of all Christians, all followers of Christ, but also specific, intricate details of vision for our individual lives. I realize we're going to be talking about Proverbs, but first I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, Acts chapter 26. And as you're turning there, I want to tell you a story. There was two warring tribes in the Andes. One tribe lived in the lowlands, and the other tribe lived up in the mountains. One day when they were least expecting it, the Highlanders came down to the Lowlanders and wreaked havoc on their little village, on their tribe, destroyed a lot of property, pillaged, took a bunch of their belongings, and it just so happens that day they also took one of the children, one of the babies, and went back up to the mountain before they could even realize what hit them. And the mother realized that her baby was missing and what had happened, and she goes to the chiefs of the tribe, and the tribe got all of their best fighting men together, and those that lived in the lowlands didn't know how to climb that mountain, didn't know the trails, were afraid to, and so they just were never accustomed to doing that. They stayed where they were and tried to defend themselves the best that they could. And so they knew now that they would have to ascend this mountain. They didn't know how. They got all of the equipment that they could gather, best ropes, best men that could fight, spears and other weapons. And they come together with a group and they start trying to climb this mountain. It took days and days and days to just try to figure out which trail to take. And they would fail. They would get a little further up and then they'd kind of get lost and they would see themselves going around in circles. And so after about 4 days, they finally kind of gave up after ascending only a couple hundred feet. And so they decided to break up camp and put all their equipment away and go down in defeat. And as they were putting all their stuff together, they saw the mother of the child coming towards them, and they realized she was descending. She was coming off of the mountain. And they were surprised, and they came up to her and greeted her and said, you're coming down the mountain. You're coming down the mountain that we haven't been able to figure out how to get up. And we're the strongest men and the most capable, the most able-bodied. How did you do that? She shrugged her shoulders and said, it wasn't your baby. Vision is like that. God gives us a vision. He gives us a baby, something that gets birthed within us, and we travail over it. We ask God to nurture it and bring it up. It has to be your baby. And that's my prayer this morning, is that God would speak to you individually, and he'd give you a baby. A spiritual baby. Spiritual baby. Are you in your Bibles? Acts chapter 26. Yo, let's not get crazy here. Acts chapter 26. I want to start with verse 9. This is the Apostle Paul talking to King Agrippa, and he's letting him know his story, his testimony. And before we dive into Proverbs and see what Proverbs has to say about vision, I want to use Paul as our example this morning of a man who received a vision from the Lord and went after it with everything he had. Verse 9 of Acts chapter 26. I too was convinced that I ought to do all that was possible to oppose the name of Jesus of Nazareth. And that is just what I did in Jerusalem. On the authority of the chief priests, I put many of the saints in prison. And when they were put to death, I cast my vote against them. Many a time I went from one synagogue to another to have them punished, and I tried to force them to blaspheme. In my obsession against them, I even went to foreign cities to persecute them. Here is Paul, then Saul, persecuting the church and feeling like this was his calling. This is what he was supposed to do. Verse 12. On one of these journeys, I was going to Damascus with the authority and commission of the chief priests. About noon, O king, as I was on the road, I saw a light from heaven, brighter than the sun, blazing around me and my companions. We all fell to the ground, and I heard a voice saying to me in Aramaic, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against the goads. Very strange statement. We don't say this very often, but a goad was a long stick that had a sharp end on it. So it was a blunt instrument, and people would use that to goad or to prod cattle, mainly oxen, to get going. And so what the oxen would do is kick against it because it hurt. But what they didn't realize is as they kicked, it hurt them even more because it would pierce their legs. And so likewise, that's what Saul was doing. The Lord Jesus Christ had been pursuing him for a long time, and he kept kicking against that prodding, kicking against that goading. Verse 15, just as he's doing, many of us, and many of us, unfortunately, are kicking against the goads. Verse 15, then I asked, who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting, the Lord replied. Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen of me and what I will show you. I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them, to the Gentiles, to open their eyes and turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, so that they may receive forgiveness of sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So then, King Agrippa, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. Saul was a new man when he received this download from heaven. What he was doing with his life, he realized was the wrong direction. God gave him a vision, a very important vision for the church, very important for us. Most of us, if not all of us, are Gentiles sitting here today, and a very large part of that is because of Paul hearing the vision from heaven and obeying. Vision occurs when God reveals. I want to just stop there with that definition. When he reveals. When there's revelation from God from heaven. When God speaks. When God directs. Sometimes with a voice. Sometimes deep in your knower. Sometimes with circumstances. Sometimes through other people. Be careful with that, but sometimes through other people for sure. Vision occurs when God reveals a glimpse. See, vision, even the word vision, has to do with sight. Has everything to do with our eyes, our spiritual eyes, most importantly. When we get a glimpse of it, just a glimpse. How many people feel like you've received a glimpse from God before about your purpose? You didn't see everything in between to get there. And most of us are still on our way to get there. When he shows it, sometimes it seems like it's just around the corner, just around the bend. Tomorrow, maybe next week, but years can go by sometimes. It's a glimpse of your purpose. What is the purpose God has for your life? Paul's purpose was not to persecute the church. Paul's purpose was to build the church. When he gives you a glimpse of your purpose, or what is the next step or steps you are to take, that I am to take, God wants to direct us. God wants to lead us. There's something innate in every single human being that knows we're here for a purpose. It's more than just getting up and going to work and earning a paycheck. It's more than just getting up on Sunday morning, getting dressed and coming to church. It's more than just getting married and having children. It's more. It's much more. And God has placed that in us. And we long for it. We search for it. Many times in the wrong direction. First, God must communicate. If you don't hear anything else this morning, God must communicate to us. And I'm saying it because we must let him. We must give him the opportunity, the avenue to do that. We must recognize his voice among many voices. We have so many voices talking to us. Our own voice, our own flesh, our own want to, speaking loud. The world is speaking loud. Our friends, our coworkers, entertainment, all of those voices are in our heads and all around us. And we must distinguish the true voice of the true shepherd and be directed by him. He must communicate, and we must distinguish when it truly is God and when it isn't. We must listen to do that. Sometimes the best way to listen is to do nothing. That is against my very nature, to do nothing. And it's against some of yours. Some of yours, maybe some of you teenagers, it's not against your nature at all. Keep doing what you're doing, and God will speak to you. Sorry, that was wrong. We must listen, and then we must obey. It's more than just hearing it and being able to distinguish it and saying, yep, that's what he said. When that happens, we just get puffed up with knowledge if we don't turn it into action, if we don't apply it. We're called to apply it. Proverbs. We're going to take a survey and kind of just look at Proverbs, not verse by verse, but different sections of Proverbs, different verses, what he has to say through Proverbs to us about vision. Proverbs 29:18 says this, where there is no revelation, some translations say vision, the people cast off restraint or perish or cast off self-control. Restraint is a system, is boundaries that are in our lives. It's self-control, which is also one of the fruits of the Spirit. And when there is no revelation, we cast those aside. We have no boundaries. We have nothing that keeps us motivated. But blessed is he who keeps the law. What is the law? The law is the very words of God. So blessed is he who keeps the very words of God. Where there is no revelation, we will go to extremes. Where there is no revelation, we will be lazy. Where there is no revelation, we will not be motivated to do the things that God is calling us to do. Even our very everyday lives. So no revelation, no words from God, no clear direction. There is no vision. There is no direction. There is no glimpse of what our purpose is. There is no plan for what we're going to do without revelation. Without that plan, without that vision, we have no restraint. There's no reason to have boundaries in our lives. There's no reason to get up in the morning and get dressed and go to work. Without restraint, there's no blessing. This is what the Message paraphrase says of Proverbs 29:18. If people can't see what God is doing, they stumble all over themselves. We have a church, Big C, and this church, because we're no different, that are stumbling all over ourselves because for some reason we can't see what God is doing. But when they attend to what he reveals, they are most blessed. Attend means to pay attention to, is to be present, to go to. When he reveals something, we must attend to it, and then we'll be blessed. It's really that simple of an equation. I want to break it down a little bit, and this is what we're going to talk about the rest of the morning. We see what God is doing. That's where it starts. God, what are you doing? We attend when he reveals. His vision, his plan for our life has a lot to do with timing. Then we attend, or we pay attention, we put focus to what he reveals. And then we are most blessed. Who wants to be most blessed this morning? I do. And can I tell you, we are not most blessed just because we're King's kids, just because we said a prayer. God's in our life, certainly. But he wants us to do what he's telling us to do. He wants us to be who he's telling us to be. So let's look at what we see God doing. Proverbs 25:2 says, "It is the glory of God to conceal a matter." I really don't know why, guys. I wish I knew. Other than there's something, there's glory to searching a matter out. It's not that God's holding it back because he doesn't want us to have it. It's he wants us to enter in. He cares much more about relationship with you and with me than he does about revealing his plans. Because his plans have everything to do with relationship. So he's concealing it, very similar to how a parent hides an Easter egg for a little child. It's there. We could probably see it if we looked hard enough. But he conceals it just enough that we have to search it out. And Scripture promises that if we search for him, we will find him. Proverbs 21:1-2 says, "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord." By the way, when Proverbs speaks of king, it could also mean a man. It's not just somebody in royalty, somebody that's sitting on a throne. It could mean leadership, and it could also just mean man. "The king's heart is in the hand of the Lord. He directs it like a water course wherever he pleases." That's something that we sometimes need to be reminded of, that we serve a sovereign God, an almighty God. He can do whatever he wants to do. We need to be reminded of that sometimes when we think we're high and mighty. He directs man's life like a water course. All a man's ways seem right to him, but the Lord weighs the heart. You can be helping out with the food pantry. You heard their call, their vision for this ministry to expand and help people who are hungry. You can go that direction, but God's still weighing your heart if you're doing it for the wrong motive. Proverbs 19:21 says, "Many are the plans in a man's heart." Just like there's many voices, there's many plans in our heart. Some are from God, no doubt. Some of them aren't, no doubt. There's many plans, just as there's many voices in the heart of man. That's why the prophet Jeremiah said that the heart cannot be trusted. There's many plans in a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. It's got veto power. Proverbs 3, verses 5 through 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. You might be sitting here this morning saying, I don't know how to hear God's voice. I don't know how to receive this heavenly download you speak of. One of the things is you need to acknowledge Him. You need to realize He's in control of your life. Acknowledge Him in everything that you do, and He will speak. He promises to speak. My God, your God does not lie. He promises if you search Him out, you will find Him. So we have to see what God is doing is the first order of business to understand His vision for your life. Second is we need to attend when He reveals. Proverbs 19:2 says, it is not good to have zeal without knowledge, nor to be hasty and miss the way. Sometimes we can see this glimpse and we're hasty. We want it and we want it now. And we've missed it because we didn't listen to everything that God said when He reveals timing. Sometimes it's immediate and you better respond immediately. Other times you respond immediately saying, yes, God, I'll do it, but it doesn't happen right away. Part of the searching a matter out that is the glory of kings or the glory of men. When it's the glory of God to conceal that matter, He wants us to search Him out. Proverbs 13:12 says, hope deferred makes the heart sick, but a longing fulfilled is a tree of life. I've been in the position before, and I know many of you have, where you're pretty certain God has this thing, this position, this gifting for your life. But He's telling you to cool your jets, that you're not ready yet. And you've got this hope, and you have to defer it. You have to say, wait. And it can make you sick. How it doesn't make you sick is when you continue to look to God. You continue to have your ears open. Continue to say, I'm on the potter's wheel. You do with me however you will. Habakkuk, Prophet Habakkuk says this, chapter 2, verses 2 through 3. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets. God gave him this vision, and He said, now I want you to write it on tablets. It's a very good thing to do. If God gives you a vision, write it down. Because you will forget it. The enemy will make sure you forget it. Write it down. Make it plain. So that he who reads it will run with it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time. Notice the timing in this. He says, I want you to write it down. It's from me. It's for my people. But it's for an appointed time. But at the end, it will speak. And it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it. Man, I just feel like there's people here this morning that have received revelation from God. A vision, a plan, a purpose for your life. And you've been waiting for a while and you got discouraged and you gave up on it. The Lord says, don't give up on it. Wait for it. Though it tarries, it will come. It will surely come. I want to back up to the very first verse of Habakkuk, Habakkuk 1:1. The NIV reads, the prophecy that Habakkuk the prophet received. The King James and the New King James reads, the burden that Habakkuk received. The revelation comes before the vision. Vision comes as a response to God's communication or His burden. Oftentimes we want to say, God, I want to do mighty things for you. And I would really like to do this. I could see myself doing this. But we've overstepped the burden that he placed on our heart, or that he has not yet placed on our heart. How you know God is speaking to you is he puts a burden on you every time, without question. Every single time, if it's God speaking, he's putting that burden on your heart. And then he will correlate a vision to you. That comes next, but the burden comes first. Then we attend to what he reveals. Proverbs 16, 2 through 4 says, all a man's ways seem innocent to him. Maybe not all of them. But motives are weighed by the Lord. Commit to the Lord whatever you do, and your plans will succeed. What a great promise. If you're one of those that like underlines promises in your Bible in a certain color, whatever, go ahead and underline that one. That's a good one. If we commit everything we do to the Lord, our plans will succeed. And I found that if I'm in the process, if I'm in the habit of doing that, he speaks a little clearer. My plans were his plans to begin with. Verse 4, the Lord works out everything for his own ends, even the wicked for a day of disaster. Again, a gentle reminder that God is in control. God will use you or he will go around you. God will use me or he'll go around me. His purpose is what prevails, not my purpose. Not my grandiose vision for my life and for my ministry. It's his purpose that always prevails, always, always, always. Then we are most blessed. We are most blessed. If we can get in this train of thought that God must speak, God must reveal, we must hear, we must listen, we must distinguish his voice, then we must take what he said to us and obey it, put it into practice, put it into application, put it into life practice. Proverbs 14:23 says, all hard work brings a profit, but mere talk leads only to poverty. Talky, talk, talk all you want. If you're not doing it, it's not going to happen. Proverbs 12:11. Love this one. It says, he who works his land will have abundant food, but he who chases fantasies lacks judgment. What's the difference between a fantasy and vision? They're both sight. They're both something you can see. Sometimes you can touch them, both of them. What's the difference? One of them comes from God. One of them comes from man. Fantasy is anti-vision. It gets in the way of vision. It's not just opposite of, it's enemy of. If we've got this fantasy of even something great, I can fantasize of you know, leading 5,000 people from the country of India to the Lord. That's great. But if God's not telling me to do it, I'm fantasizing. And I'm wasting my time. More importantly, I'm wasting his time. We fantasize of winning the lottery, and so we dump all this money. Sorry, everyone. Dump all this money into something that we're fantasizing about, when we could have used our time, our efforts, our money to what God's really saying to us. It's really easy to live in a fantasy world. It is. And again, our world is programmed to go after fantasy. Sometimes they call it dreams. Godly vision motivates action. Every time. Fantasy doesn't. Fantasy motivates getting some popcorn and sitting on the couch and thinking some more about it, enjoying it. I don't want this dream to end. Godly vision should motivate us to action. There's some telltale signs of, is it really from God? Usually if it's really from God, it's what wakes you up in the morning. It's what continues to motivate you when you feel like giving up. And we've all been there, and you'll all be there. We'll all be there. It's going to happen. This world will beat you down. But godly vision will continue to motivate you to get up, brush yourself off, and try another day. Godly vision is never satisfied with the status quo. There's a dissatisfaction in your spirit because God has placed something greater there for you. So you're just tired of playing church. You're tired of playing accountant. You're tired of doing everything that you were doing. You just want God to speak. You're dissatisfied with the status quo if it's truly godly vision. And we're all jumbled up. Godly vision promotes faith rather than fear. It's not to say that you won't experience fear, because we still live in this earth suit. We still deal with our human emotions. We still deal with, just as Peter walked out on the water, he was walking on water. We don't give him that. We look at, he started looking around and then he sank. We do that sometimes too. But godly vision, he did not place that in you so that you would fear. He placed that in you so that your faith would skyrocket. Godly vision brings success in God's economy. His kingdom is advanced and his glory is known. How can that be if God is telling me to open up my own bakery shop? The glory of God will be on your business. The glory of God will be in how you deal with customers. It doesn't just have to be completely, in your mind, Christian. You bring Christ to others regardless of what you do. The vision that God wants to place on our hearts is to promote his kingdom and to glorify his name. Plain and simple. I want you to stand with me. I want to pray for vision. Do you want godly vision? I want godly vision. If God has already given you a vision, he wants to fine-tune it. He wants to magnify different parts of it. He wants to give you the next step, perhaps. Will you pray with me? God, I ask that you would communicate. Lord, we don't want to go any further. We don't want to do another thing. Lord, we don't want to start our day. We don't want to get our feet out of the bed until you communicate. God, I pray that you would make us desperate to hear your voice. God, I know you want to speak to us. You want to communicate. You want to reveal things. Lord, you've placed people around us, Lord, just like the people that are around us now, to be part of that communication. Lord, you care so deeply about your body. And you've told us to encourage and uplift and edify one another. Lord, you speak to us prophetically. God, I ask that you would do that, Lord, and that we would wait to hear your voice. God, that we would be able to distinguish your voice among the many voices we hear on a daily basis, on a minute-by-minute basis. God, help us to use wisdom. Help us to know when the voice we're hearing, if it lines up with Scripture or not. God, help us to know if it's motivating us to action, if we're just fantasizing. Lord, we are your sheep. We are your people. Lord, help us to recognize your voice. God, help us to listen. Lord, just as we're tuning all the other voices out, Lord, help us to tune out all of the distractions in our lives. The things that we find ourselves busy with. Some good things. Lord, quiet those too. but help us to listen intently, not to just hear you speaking, but to hear what you're saying, to take it to heart, to take it to mind. God, most of all, help us to obey. Lord, your word says that obedience is better than sacrifice. Lord, your word says that if we love you, we will keep your commandments. Help us to obey, Lord. Lord, we want your vision. We want your purpose in this world. Lord, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come in my life as it is in heaven. Lord, help us to lead others to Christ. Lord, take away fear, Lord, of the unknown. Fear of failure, fear of rejection, be stopped in the name of Jesus. Speak to us, God. Even as we sing this last song, Lord, speak to us through it. Speak to us during it. Lord, as we leave this place, Lord, we would long hear you. We would long to be obedient to what you're saying to us. Lord, remind us of what our purpose is.